Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here with me again for a Monday, November 30th, 2020. This is edition number 38 as we're continuing through season two of the Morning Devotional, looking at the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. This morning, we're going to consider Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. But let's pray together, and then we'll briefly look at these verses. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, now as we come to your word, we know that it sits in judgment over us. It's been given to us as a light to our path, an instruction in godliness and righteousness and holiness. It tells us who you are and what you demand of your creatures. And so as redeemed people, we come to it this morning with a zeal to obey that which we hear. So make us truly hearers as well, or doers as well as hearers of your word. We pray that you'd help us, that you'd be gracious to us even now for Christ's sake. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Here in these four verses, clearly we are dealing with the subject of giving or serving, both in the life of the church as well as outside of the church. Jesus begins with a warning. He tells his hearers to beware, to watch out, to pay attention of the falsehood of perceived righteousness in some who give to others in such a way that others take note of it. Now, we've met people like this in our lives, I'm sure, and perhaps we have committed this sin ourselves in such that we labor to serve within and outside the church. But we always seem to have to draw attention to it. We have to let other people know just what we've done, our good deeds, our labors, our efforts, whatever it may be. We have to point it out so others can consider, can see just how godly and righteous and how much of a servant we are in the church and outside the church. Jesus would tell us to be careful, to beware of this kind of practice, which appears to be righteous, but in fact is really not. It's, as Jesus describes it here, it's merely hypocrisy. Now, of course, the Savior assumes that the church and those who follow Christ will be givers. And in fact, the church needs more givers. It needs more servants. It doesn't need less of this. And in fact, I guess the old adage that goes something like this, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it always seems that there's a handful of people within the life of the church that are doing the most work, the most service. All of us, as followers of Christ, who are daily denying ourselves and for the sake of other people, should be mindful of giving, whether it's monetarily, whether it's with time and labor and effort, both. Indeed, we're called to both. But as we do this, Jesus would tell us to be careful to not practice this supposed righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Many times in the life of the church, people, they serve, they give so that they might receive the praise of men. We read in Proverbs how we should never boast of our own labors, that we should let another man boast in what we do. But even here, it's the motivation that lies behind the one who is giving. The motivation is to be seen by other people. It's to be recognized by our fellow man as such a good and kind and able servant of the Lord. No, instead, Jesus would say to us, and he would warn us, and he would implore us that when we give to the needy, verse 2, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. They have received their reward. In other words, the reward that they are seeking, the one they truly would want to have happen, appears to be that of the praise of men. But as Christians, what we really want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to hear that from the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hear that necessarily from men. So if our motivation in our giving is that we might be applauded by men, then we need to adjust our motivation. We don't stop giving. We don't stop serving. But we need to repent of that particular misguided motivation and focus it more upon what is central to this entire Christian, our entire Christian experience, and that is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by serving men, so that we might not receive praise or acclamation or fame or glory or the spotlight or any other single thing. No, instead, we give not as hypocrites, but we give as genuine, as ones who have received the gift of salvation and redemption purchased by Christ, and now we give back out of a desire to serve him. And so the Savior would warn us. He would say so much that as we give, we should be giving in such a way that it's almost instinctive that we are simply serving the Lord. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, it should be part and parcel of our Christian experience that we give to serve the Lord, not seeking the applause or acclaim of other people. This is a hard thing to do. We tend to, as people, as creatures of dust, we tend those who have too much ego working in our own lives, we tend to seek the applause and the praise of men. And so we need to be very mindful of this. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, as he rebuked the Galatian church for departing from the faith that was once delivered to them, how easily they were setting aside these matters. And in verse 10 of Galatians 1, he says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Now here he's not saying that it's not important to please men. It's not important to serve men, but it's important to do it under the right context and the right motivation. And that motivation is always to the honor and glory of our Lord. And so sometimes it happens in the Christian life where in order to honor the Lord, you might displease other people. That could happen. But as you seek to serve in the church, as you seek to serve outside the church, labor to do it to the glory of Christ as though you are invisible. Much like John the Baptist, who in Mark chapter 1 was more interested in the glory of Christ than he was in his own fame. He says in verse 7, "He preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie.'" So a true servant of Christ is one who's interested in the glory of Christ, not his own fame, not his own acclamation, not his own, not praise from men, but praise from Christ. That should drive us as we seek to give and serve in the life of the church. Well, I trust these times are a benefit for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The information is there before you on the screen. And so until tomorrow, when we begin the next section, beginning in chapter 6, verse 5, on the Lord's Prayer, and we talk more deeply about prayer, I trust the Lord will keep you. He'll watch over you. He will be faithful to you as you seek to serve him this day. God bless.